All right, take your Bibles this morning, please. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, first book of the Bible, chapter 42 for the message this morning. Genesis chapter 42. Genesis 42. Now, let me just give you a little background for of the story, what is happening here. My text verse is going to be verse 36 at the end of the chapter, but let me give you just a little preview. We're talking here, the Bible is telling us the story of Jacob and his sons, all the 12 tribes of Israel, that will eventually be the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, in the story, there's a famine in the land, and Jacob decides that he's got to send his boys down to Egypt. Now, you will remember that many years prior, the youngest of the children at that time was named Joseph. And he was his father's favorite. He was Jacob's favorite. And the other boys were jealous of him and envious of him. And they went to where he was tending his father's herds. And they sold him to the Midianites. The Midianites carted him down to Egypt. Now, as far as the brothers know, Joseph is dead. They had no idea that what happened to him happened. But you know the story. He went down there and God blessed him. And within about 15, 17 years, he is now the second highest official in the land. He's in charge of all the bread and the grain. And God had blessed him abundantly, given him great wisdom and material blessing. And while the rest of the Middle East is suffering famine, here is Joseph and Egypt with food enough to feed the world. Well, word evidently got to Jacob about this, so Jacob sends a couple of his boys down to buy grain off the Egyptians. Well, when they came in to make the deal, Joseph spotted his brothers. He recognized them. And so he decides that he's going to work that thing to his advantage. And so he ends up sending a couple of them home, keeps a couple of them there, and says, gets out of them. Well, we have a brother, little brother, which was his Joseph's full little brother, Benjamin. His mother and Benjamin's mother, same woman, Rachel, and she died in just after Benjamin was born. Joseph says, "Why don't you go and bring your little brother and let me meet him?" And so they paid for their grain. He then turns around and puts their money back in their grain sacks and sends them on their way. When they get home, they open up the sacks, and there's their money. All right, it's just to update you on the story. Everybody with me now? You know where we are? All right, now, look at verse 35. It says, "And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. And ye will take Benjamin away? All these things are against me." Now that's what I'm using as a text this morning. All these things are against me. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, when nothing goes right. Now, I know that none of you in here can identify with that. All right, I understand that. But there are a few of us who can. And so please indulge all the rest of us. And I would ask you please to listen. If you are a young person, please listen to what your pastor says this morning, because you may not need what I'm going to give you right now, but would you just take an old man's advice? You're going to need it one of these days soon. If the Lord tarries His coming, you're going to need what you're about to hear from the Word of God. So please give me your undivided attention. And I want to speak this morning on the subject, when nothing goes right. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You so much for the Bible. And I pray that You will bless Your Word and speak to our hearts this morning. Father, I pray You'll help me as I speak. I need Your help as I proclaim what You've taught me. And Lord, I pray that what we learn here this morning will strengthen our faith and help us to resolve to just stay faithful and keep trusting You regardless. And Lord, help us to realize that we serve a great God who is able. And Lord, You have a great master plan for this world and for each one of us. And Lord, help us just to trust You and realize Your plan is for our good. So Lord, bless us now, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want to speak this morning on a subject that I think everybody will be able to identify with. I want to speak on asking this or answering this: when nothing seems to go right. When nothing seems to go right. Now, I know that none of you have ever felt this, felt like this, and how that life was treating you this way. I understand that. But would you please just give me your attention this morning, and kind of, if you don't need this right now, just kind of put it in a file where in a few weeks or a few months or a few years, if the Lord tarries His coming, you can go and pull it out and use it when the appropriate time comes. I want to approach my subject this morning by looking at a little incident here with Jacob. Jacob had, and you know this, you've read the Bible and you know Jacob's story. Jacob had a lot of dark, cloudy, rainy Mondays in his life. Bless his heart, he had a lot of things that transpired in his life that were mainly the result of his own sinfulness. But nonetheless, Jacob had a lot of dark, cloudy, rainy Mondays in his life. But without a doubt, one of the darkest days of his life came right here in this text that I read for you just a little while ago, where you can hear the frustration of years and years and years of a broken heart over the events that had transpired in his life. Look, please, at the text verse. Jacob said, "Joseph is not." Joseph is not. Now, that's the first thing that he said. Because that was probably the thing that was heaviest upon his heart. The fact that he thought that the firstborn son of his beloved wife, Rachel, was gone, that he was dead. And by that, he was saying that as far as he understood the situation, and there was no doubt to question, there was no reason to question the situation. But as he looked at his life, he had a broken heart because Joseph, his son, was dead. Another of his sons, Simeon, in his mind, as he saw it, was in an Egyptian prison. And as far as he was concerned, Simeon was as good as dead. And now, mysterious and powerful hands were trying to grab his beloved youngest son, Benjamin, and was trying to drag him far away from his father's care and protection in Canaan and have him hauled off to Egypt, where where Simeon was awaiting. And then, think of this, folks, to beat all, this was all taking place at the same time there was a great protracted famine in the land. There was nothing to eat. People were famished. People were starving. They had nothing to eat, and they had no prospects of getting anything to eat. His last ditch effort, Jacob's last ditch effort, was sending his sons all the way down into Egypt to find food. And that plan had backfired, and now his sons are being held in an Egyptian jail, and it seems that the Egyptian rulers want even more of Jacob's sons. Now, think of this. Had he only had the famine to deal with, Jacob probably would have gotten his big boy britches on and dealt with it like everybody else had to deal with it. If that was all he had was just the famine, he probably could have handled that. Had he only had to deal with the loss of his son Joseph that had taken place many years before, and no doubt the pain was dissolving. I mean, the only thing that takes away the pain in our pain in life of losing a loved one is time. That's the only thing that takes it away. And so many years had passed, and had he only had to deal with the loss of Joseph, it no doubt hurt and had a great impact upon him. But with each passing day, the pain got less. No doubt, like thousands of other parents, he would have went on and he would have made it. But it was the culmination. Are you listening? It was the culmination of all of these events that came upon him at one time and that brought him to this point of despair that we read in our text. You see, it was not just one thing, it was several things that all just came at one time and piled up to stand on his old tired shoulders that made him cry out in despair and say, "All of these things are against me." Now, nobody here has ever said that, right? I'm sure. But there may be a day down the road where you might feel this way. So let me share a couple of things with you. First of all, I want you to realize that Jacob reached an hour in his life that eventually all of us are going to reach. Has that sunk into you? You say, "Boy, right now, Pastor, I'm in the prime of my life, man. I got the world by the tail." Well, good for you. But it ain't gonna last. It's just not gonna last. I want you to realize, folks, that Jacob reached an hour right here at the end of verse 36. He reached an hour that eventually everyone reaches. I think there comes days in everybody's life where we just have one thing after another that comes crashing down upon us and all at the same time. Just as there are days when everything is going great and when every person we meet is smiling at us and where everything is just grand and glorious, there are equally seasons in life where everything seems to fall apart and it is just one storm after another. Now, we sometimes experience this in day-to-day life. I mean, I'm not talking spiritual things here now. I'm just talking life. For example, every writer has times when his mind just seems to be stagnant and nothing flows from his pen. Every musician has days when the song is just not there. Every businessman knows times when things just don't seem to prosper and the future is full of nothing but hopeless prospects. and how we deal with these bad times and how we react to them, how we respond to them, is the test of your character. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, the test of your character is what it takes to stop you. You see, if our troubles only came one at a time, most of us could handle them. But it usually doesn't happen that way, does it? Usually it's one thing piling upon another, and then that is piled upon by another thing, and before you know it, you are bowing your head and letting your arms hang by your side in frustration, saying, all these things are against me. And please realize, dear friend, that you are not alone. You are not the only one who is experiencing this kind of thing. May I remind you that the Bible is replete with men who had just one thing after another. Can I take you back to Job for just a moment? Man, I don't think anybody in here has ever had to go through what poor old Job had to go through. That man had the hand of God upon him and the blessings of God upon him. And then the devil went, the accuser of the brethren, and accused Job before God. The devil said, you know, you take your hand off of him and you give me a shot at him. We'll see how true Job is. And God said, all right, I'll take my hand off of him, but you cannot take his life. And what did old Slewfoot do? Came and took everything he had. Everything he had. He took his health. Can you imagine waking up one morning and your body is covered with boils and the only relief you can get is to take a piece of pottery and break it and take the sharp edge and lance the boils and squeeze them so that the pressure goes away? Can you imagine having that to live with? He lost all of his children and all their spouses. He lost his herds, his camels, and his goats, and his sheep. Lost it all. He lost his health. His wife came to him and said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Then his friends came, three of them. His friends came, and they all accused him of being a huge sinner. I'm telling you, folks, constant attacks came upon Job. It did not stop. Job cried out, and he said that his life was full of trouble, and it was just one thing after another. Constant attacks come at us, folks, from all angles, and constant trouble just seems to be around every corner. You are not the only one going through it. That's the point. Now, I want you to think of this. There is a comforting aspect to this text. You say, well, Pastor, I've read this now three or four times since you've been preaching. I don't see where you get any comfort out of that at all. Well, let me see if I can show it to you. There is a comforting aspect to this text. And the comforting aspect is this. In his mind, this is what he saw. Look at the Bible again. Joseph is not. In other words, Joseph is dead. Simeon is not. He thought Simeon was dead. And ye will take Benjamin away. And all these things are piled up against me. Folks, look at me. The truth is, Jacob was quite mistaken about how things were. He thought that Joseph was dead. He wasn't dead. He thought that Simeon was in prison. He was not in prison. Oh, in his mind, it was as bad as he was stating it to be. In his mind, Joseph was dead, when in reality, Joseph was the president of Egypt. I mean, it really wasn't quite as bad as the old patriarch thought it to be. He pictured Simeon stuck in a cold, dark prison, just getting by on stale bread and germ-infested water, when the truth of the matter is he was staying in the house of the second most powerful man in all the world. He had it made in Egypt. There's the comfort, folks. His heart failed him as he thought of losing his youngest baby boy, Benjamin. It seemed to him that everything was in total disarray, and he simply couldn't see it all. With an agony that bordered on despair, he cried out and said, "All these things are against me." And at that very moment, even though he did not know it yet, everything was for him, not against him. Do you see the difference? Oh, how many times have we gone through some difficult situation, some period of heartache, some season of sorrow? I mean, the doctor gave us a bad report, or there was some tragedy, or you lost a job, or you got information about your mortgage. Well, looking back on it, I wonder how many of us with a smile on our face said, looking back on it, I now realize what the Lord was doing. You see, you can't see what the Lord is doing when you're in the midst of the storm. But when the storm dies down, then you can see your surroundings. And boy, how many times have we gone through things, and at the time we did not know what it was. But folks, wait a minute. Isn't it true? Hindsight is always 20/20. We do not always see the whole picture and what God is doing. Let me give you another great Bible character that went down this same road. You remember the Apostle Paul? Man, God called Paul, and he took off preaching, and it just seemed that everywhere he went, there was great fruit, great results. I mean, he had a call from God to preach the gospel, and Paul found himself, though one day, in prison. Now, you think about that. Here he had a call from God, the world as his pulpit, and he ends up in a Roman prison. I'm sure he sat there and thought to himself, "Well, now, wait a minute. This is not how I envisioned it to be." He probably sat there and thought, "Something's amiss here. I thought I was supposed to be going to Europe to preach the gospel. And now he's chained to a floor." With a call from God to preach, Paul found himself in prison. He had been preaching and teaching, planting churches, and had the world as his pulpit. But then it all changed, and he was sent to Rome to be chained to a floor with nothing but a pen and a scroll. But folks, listen, had he not had everything against him, we would not have the prison epistles in the New Testament today. Epistles that were written to young pastors who would carry on and expand the work that Paul started. We would learn from this adversity that Paul had to endure how a church is to be run. That was covered in those prison epistles. We would learn in those prison epistles how the widows are to be looked after, and how young men are to conduct themselves, and how young ladies are to behave themselves. You see, Paul thought, just like Jacob, that everything was against him. But we often do not see the glory that comes out of the trial. Let me remind you, Job said that when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Now, let me see if I can illustrate this for you. Hold on a minute. I got to wet the whistle. Can't get it started. It's cranking, but it's not starting. Wednesday and Thursday of this week, such beautiful days. You'd have thought it was April instead of January, February. And I let the fire burn out in the fireplace, in the stove. And Thursday, Thursday, I came home from work. I wasn't supposed to tell you that, was I? I'm resting. But I came home from work, and I noticed about 5:30, 6 o'clock, the wind picked up, and it got cold. And so I thought, well, now's a good time to get those ashes out of the stove. So I went and got the bucket, and I emptied all the ashes out of the fireplace. And I brought some fresh wood in and arranged it all, set it all up, and then I started looking around for some newspaper. I couldn't find any newspaper. There was no newspaper in the house. Well, I thought about using my tax forms or something to, you know, and then plead ignorance, but I decided against that. So I thought, well, you know, I got to have something to start this wood burning. So I went outside. We have a bunch of pine trees that go across the back of our yard and go along the side, the east side of our house. And so I went out and started picking up pine cones, which are great for starting fires. It's got kerosene naturally in it. And even if they're wet, you can just take a match and light them. It takes right off and burns. So anyway, I went and gathered up the pine cones. Well, while I was out there digging around trying to find the pine cones, which weren't hard to find, I saw a little shoot, a little pine tree. Now, these pine trees are huge, but there was a little one. There's a spot where the light evidently can hit it well, and there was a little pine tree growing about that big. And I stood there and I looked at that pine tree and I thought, wow, look at there, the little tree is growing. Now, what happened there? Well, a couple of years ago, I don't know how many years ago, I didn't see it all happen, but I know that that's what happened. There was one of those pine cones that fell off of one of those huge trees. And some way, somehow, known only to God, a seed got down in the ground and took root. Now, that little seed started to grow, and I want you to think about that little seed. It had to endure some wind, a lot of wind, some snow, a lot of snow, except for this year. He said, he got up this morning, he got up here and said, wasn't the snow beautiful yesterday? He's from North Carolina, give him a break. He hadn't seen winter, has he? Now, you just wait till we get one of them 4-foot blizzards come through here, and then we'll see how much he loves the snowfall. Yeah, he'll be ready to move back to Winston-Salem after that. It had over the last couple of years, man, think of all the blizzards we've had just in the last couple of years. That little old seed, that little old sapling had to endure the wind and the snow and the ice and the frost and the terrible weather conditions of the last couple of winters. But now there is a young, strong little sapling growing under the boughs of that tree that gave the seed to begin with. Oh, it lay on the ground, pounded by the snow and blown by the wind and burned by the sun, and there was no glory. There was nothing to glory in. Nothing. But now a little tree is branching and a little tree is growing. And I'm sure that many of us look at our situation and what we're dealing with right now, and we are tempted to say, as did Jacob, all these things are against me. But wait a minute, Christian. Hang on there just a second. Like Jacob, I submit to you that you cannot see the whole picture just now. Jacob thought that Joseph was dead, but he was the wealthiest man on the planet and the second most powerful man on the planet. He thought Simeon was in a cold, dark prison. He was not. He was living in the lap of luxury in the palace of the Pharaoh. Right now, listen to me now, right now, you might feel like you're having to deal with more than you can handle, but I'm asking you to just hold on a little while longer and see if your perception of what things are really the way they are. Because you see, you may just be able to see the storm. You may just be able to see the snow and the ice and the rain and the hot sun. You just may be able to see all the negatives, but you cannot see what is yet out there. You cannot yet see what God is doing. So you cannot throw in the towel, quit. Turn over to Romans 8. Let me show you this principle in the New Testament. Romans chapter 8. Look, please, at verse 28. And we, what's the next word? No. Does it say we speculate? Does it say good possibility? No. He says, we know. And we know that, what's the next word? All. I wonder what all means. Yeah, it means all. It means all. You say, well, you know, I'm going to have to get my Greek concordance. No, waste your time. All means all. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, folks, did you get that? All things work together for good. Right now, all you see is the accumulation of one bad thing after another that is piling upon you. But the day will dawn when you will wake to find that all things have been working for your good. Right now, you can't see that. Jacob could not see that. Picture Jacob over here, and he comes and he says, oh my goodness, Joseph is dead. Simeon is dead. Now that guy wants Benjamin. Man, we're in a famine. We're in a drought. We're all starving here. I've done spent a fortune trying to get some food for my family. Man, all these things are piling up on me. I don't know if I can make it anymore. I mean, this has happened and that's happened. Yes, those were things that were real in his mind. But here's the point, folks. In just a few months, he walked in to that palace of the king, of the Pharaoh. And there was a man sitting on that throne. He did not know it, but that man was his own child. The one back here that he thought was dead. He wasn't dead at all. He had the world in his hands. He had the answers for their physical needs in his hands. He did not know that. He ends up standing before him, and when he walked in, he sees all the rest of his boys. He thought, wow, they're all here. That's strange. I thought they were all dead. They're not dead. They're all here. Can you imagine the smile that came across his face when he walked in that room and saw his sons? But wait a minute, it gets better. He walks up, and the other boys are standing there. They got tears running down their faces. Wonder why they're crying. What are they all excited about? They know who's sitting on that throne. They know that it's their brother. He does not know it yet. And can you imagine when he walks in and he sees his boys and he goes, boys, I'm glad y'all here. I thought y'all were dead. Oh, no, Daddy, we're here. Amen, son. Amen. They all come hug one another, and then all of a sudden somebody says, Dad, there's something else we need to tell you. And they look over to the one sitting upon the throne and said, Dad, this is the head honcho down here. This is the guy who is right under the Pharaoh. His word is it. And Dad, there's something else we got to tell you about this guy. He's not who everybody thinks he is. And about that time, Joseph reaches over and he takes off that crown that was on his head, and he starts to wipe that mascara that they put on their faces, and he stands up, and instead of speaking in the Egyptian tongue, he speaks in his Hebrew tongue and says, "Daddy, it's me." Are you with me? You see, the perception is that, oh my goodness, this is awful and I can't take this anymore. I just don't know if I can do this. And what I'm trying to get you to see is that there is a comfort in this. Listen, life is tough. All of us find that out eventually. It's not easy. It's not easy to go through life and have everything just peachy keen all the time. And you're never promised that by God in the Bible. But what I am trying to get you to see is that what we sometimes perceive as just one more thing upon us and I can't take it anymore, God says, wait a minute here. Trust me through the storm, because take my word for it, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now you say, oh, but Pastor, I mean, come on. You know, Pastor, I might die from this disease I have. All right, let me just say this. You are. You're going to die from a disease you have. It's called sin. You're going to die from sin. It's inherent within you. It's in your genetic makeup. And it's going to kill you. Now, it might kill you at 50. It might kill you at 12. It might kill you at 90. But mark my word, unless the Lord comes back, it's going to get you. It's going to get me. It's going to get you. We're all going to have it come knock at our door. You say, well, I might die from this. Really? You think? I got news for you, folks. You are going to die if Jesus tarries his coming. And as sad as that is, now listen to me, I'm not trying to belittle anything. Tell them I'm busy. I'm not trying to belittle anything. I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm trying to get you to see the reality of it. As sad as it is that you are going to die, and as much as we are going to miss you when you do die, let me ask you a question. What is so wrong with dying and going to heaven? Huh? What's wrong with that? I've told you folks before, the day is coming when I'm going to die. I know that. If Jesus tarries, I'm banking on him coming back. But if he doesn't, I'm ready to go. Let her rip. And I mean this with all my, I'm as serious about this as I can be. When they lay me out and you folks file by, don't feel sorry for me. I'm in heaven. Now, if you want to feel sorry for Karen, if you want to feel sorry for my kids and pray for them and support them, great. But don't feel sorry for me, because truth of the matter is, I'm a whole lot better off than you are. You're still here, and you're still dealing with your flesh, and you're still dealing with your arthritis, and you're still dealing with your diseases. You're still dealing with death all around you. But don't feel sorry for me. Because I'm walking on streets of gold. And I'm looking into the face of the Savior that died for me. And I'm reuniting with all the friends and church members and loved ones that have gone on before. Don't you feel sorry for me. What is wrong with dying and going to heaven? Absolutely nothing. That's why you get saved. I got news for you, folks. It's not as bad as you think it is. If you die, you are leaving here and going into the presence of the Lord. That is not a bad exchange. We are like Jacob, though, in that we think that all these things here are against us. And they might be, dear friend. They probably are if you want to know the truth. But now, wait a minute. Get the big picture. Here's Jacob, and he's sitting here going, man, all this stuff's against me. He didn't see it all. He got over here and found out that's not true. That's not true. And here's the principle for a child of God. Listen, dear friend. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, we're told in the Bible we're going to die. So we should not be surprised when any of us do. Or when a loved one does. But also, just like Jacob, when we or a loved one dies, it is not as it seems in our minds to be. Just like Simeon, our saved loved one is with the king. And we're going to see him again. When Jacob was taken, ushered right in, and there was Simeon. There was Simeon and all the rest of his boys. He came in and he thought, wow, this is great. Here's Simeon. Here's my other sons. But it got even better because even Joseph was there. Folks, one of these days, you have lived by faith for all these years. And one of these days, your faith is going to be turned into sight. And you will see him face to face. I'm saying we're all where Jacob was. One thing after another. How many of you feel that's the way it is? Boy, pastor's just one, yeah. Just one thing after another. Everything's against me. Oh, no, 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 no. That's exactly the fatalistic mindset the devil wants you to have. You just put your eyes on the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Jacob soon found out that what he perceived as a conspiracy against him and the whole world against him was a misinterpretation on his part. I can imagine how joyous, how wonderful, how exciting it is to leave here and in 1 second's time be in the presence of the Lord. I often think about Larry. Man, I'm telling you, I don't know why. I just think about our brother Larry, our pastor Larry. Can you imagine? I said at his funeral, and I believe this with every fiber of my being. I don't believe anybody was any more surprised than Larry when he woke up in heaven. Larry, as far as Larry was concerned, he was going to outlive all of us. He was going to outlive all of us. Nobody was any more surprised than Larry Stainer. He probably looked around and said, oh man, what am I doing here? Oh man, I can hear him now. But I can also see that smile as he looked and saw the Lord Jesus sitting on the throne. And thousands of people came running to welcome him. People that he had led to Christ. What's wrong with going to heaven? Nothing. It's why we do what we do. You say, well, I just don't know if I can make it. If God be for us, who can be against us? Sure you can. Thousands and thousands, yea, millions have made it before you. They made it. You'll make it. You say, well, I just don't want it to end this way. Blame Adam for that. That's Adam's fault. And now we're all in the same boat. The wages of sin is death. And we've all got to pay him. Thank God he has provided a way for us to go to heaven for all eternity. I'm telling you, folks, it's not as bad as you think it is. Keep looking to the Lord.